Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I learned a lot about pool covers this week. I didn't really want to, but I did anyway.
How fun. The grocery store was out of hummus, so all I got was a scolding for not having my mask over my nose.
Oh, Heather, remember that day that the sun didn't come out on the entire west coast of the U.S.?
Yeah. You mean when the shadows were bright orange and I breathed in a pound of smoke? Kind of hard to forget, Sarah.
Such a good day. Welcome to Have Such a Good Day, the show that wants you to do just that. I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Heather Frank, and it's also about the absurdity of everyday life, which, you know, we're all experiencing way more these days.
Man, are we ever, Heath. I don't even know. Like, I don't even know. Like, every single week, I'm like, is it going to be weirder than last week? And it always is.
It is. It's so funny. It, you know, I talk to a variety of people all the time, and it's like we're always. It's just laughable. It's like, well, not laughable. It's cry. It's like I cry and then I laugh and then I laugh and then I cry. It's like, you know, you think that how could it get even any worse, but then it does, and it's like
it's really
the sky is orange word. Now,
girl.
Last year I read The Road, you know, by Cormac McCarthy. It's also a movie with Viggo Mortensen.
And it's a great book.
It is a great book. I love Cormac McCarthy, but I kind of regret reading it because I've been thinking a lot about the road since the sky has been orange, and it's making me feel like we're just inching closer and closer to this kind of apocalyptic world. And I wish I didn't read it because it kind of scarred me a little bit.
It's a good book. It's a difficult read. It's funny that you mention this because my mother, who is voracious reader. Mm-hmm. She reads so many more books than I do, you know, and, you know, I sometimes kind of go like, oh, what about this book or this book? You know, like, you know, because I want to be part of the conversation. The thing about The Road, for anybody who's not familiar with Cormac McCarthy's style, is I'm a person who, like, it's hard for me to pay attention to things. And sometimes I look at a couple pages and I'm like, there's no dialogue. It's going to be all just like
description.
Just description.
Oh, I love that though.
Well, but you know, because I like, you know, dialogue to me is like, oh, that's like TV.
Sure.
It's like, you know, that's how you're like, you know, cutting up stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
But when I first, you know, the book at first, I was like, I don't think I can do this. And then I was like, I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
And then I got into it and then I was cool with it.
It was a page turner.
I actually think it was a very good book.
I think the key, honestly, because it is harder and harder to read books, like not listen to audiobooks, but actually read a book. I think you got to get through like 70 pages or something. I think that's the rule of thumb. But real quickly, speaking of books, I feel like I've been getting... like I had a whole new slew of books I wanted to read that were just from my own research, you know, a variety of things. Like I think it was like Ali Wong's new, you know, book. She's a comedian. There are some older titles that I didn't read back in the day that I'm trying to pick up and keep up with. And then I've got like, I'm not kidding. I've had like 10 people recommend books to me that I've bought like on Amazon and the local bookstore. I have the biggest stack of books right now that I think will get me through the winter, but I'm a little overwhelmed by it. You know, it's like I've got my audiobooks, I've got my regular books. Don't really feel like I have that much time to sit down and peel open a book, like, and sit for 2 hours and read a book. But when I go for walks and stuff, I'll listen to audiobooks, which is a lot easier to get through. But I don't want to be that person that just listens to audiobooks. Like, I want to be a real, I used to be a voracious reader, and I'd like to continue that. So we'll see this winter. That's my plan, is to get myself back into, like, the rhythm.
You might feel different, like on a rainy day where you're like, I mean, I got 5 hours to, like, you know, like, I don't want to go outside right now. It's just, like, wet and horrible. You might feel differently, and it might be kind of cool.
And my dad the other day said that he had a really cool, like, wood burning stove fireplace that he bought years ago. He's like, you guys should just install it in the house. We'll do it. We'll put it. So we're going to get a wood burning stove, which will create a really nice ambiance for reading. So I'm excited for that.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, Heather, the last week has been apocalyptic, to say the least. Uh-huh. And we can, I don't know, anybody who's not on the West Coast kind of, some of you understand what, you know, we've been going through, and some of you are like, you know, because that's what happens when you're not near something that is, you know, this huge thing. But it was really fucking crazy. On, what is it, Friday now, when we're recording this? So on Wednesday morning, I woke up and the sky was dark. And I woke up later than I usually wake up. I'm a pretty early riser, mm-hmm. You know, like I'm up at 6 a.m. You know, I got shit to do. Hmm? You know, I make my coffee. Yeah, I got to walk the dog, the whole thing. And I woke up at 8:30 and it was like so discombobulated and was like, what is that? What day is it? Like, I don't know what's happening, you know? And I had to take the garbage out. And so I did. Taking the garbage out at my house is like, you know, there's like 4 different bins. It's like kind of a thing, you mm-hmm. know, it's going to take me like 30 minutes, you know? And I'm like, I'm looking at the sky, like, where am I? What is happening? Very disorienting. And, you know, before I even was able to ping you, Heather, you said to me, like, Are you in the dark? Because I'm in the dark. And we are not, you know, neighbors,
no.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. we're
there's hundreds of miles between us.
Exactly. California, big state. you know, Heather's way at the top. I'm kind of, you know, in the middle. And then there's, you know, the bottom. But I asked a couple of people in LA, I was like, are you in the dark? And they were like, no, I mean, it's hazy, but like, mm-hmm. no, not
it's
in the dark.
Hazy there.
Yeah, like not really, not a big deal. And I had to, you know, again, like walk my dog and, you know, do various things that I do in the morning anyway. And I was like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like, it really felt like a horror movie.
Oh, it felt like Blade Runner, like, or yeah, some horror movie. I know. I was going through my head of like all the movies that it felt like, you know. It's really hard to explain if you're not experiencing it.
Totally.
Even though I tried to take photos on my iPhone of the orange sky, and it like whited out. It's like, it was weird. It was not like a what you see is what you get.
I do the same thing. There were a couple, like, yeah, I sent pictures to people and I'm like, but it's worse than
I added a filter to make it what it really looked like, because I was like, this is not correct.
It's hard to explain how weird it was, you know, for anybody who's like not in the area, and most of you aren't, and we know that. You know, there are a lot of fires across California right now, a lot. And apparently a couple of days ago, the smoke from kind of the lingering smoke from the fires was above a marine layer. And so it was sort of like, it was blocking up the sun, but actually not like as dangerous as it would be if it was closer to, you know, what you're breathing. Mm-hmm. And it became a very, very strange thing.
And the sun was a red circle. I mean, it was literally a bright red purple, like in that white marine layer. It was weird that there was no sea breeze at all. Cause I mean, I'm right on the cliff of the ocean. There's always some kind of air circulating, even if it's not like windy, nothing. It's been completely just so stagnant. It's very bizarre. So that adds to the kind of strange sci-fi environment.
Absolutely. So, I mean, to kind of, you know, come full circle to like, what does it all mean? Well, frankly, I don't know. But I was thinking like, you know, did I ever feel fear like this? Like the weirdness that I felt the other day when I was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I felt as a, you know, a single adult, you know, who's like, you know, gets up in the morning and does her thing and works and then goes to bed. It's like, I feel like I have it mostly together. But when you get that spidey sense,
mm-hmm.
you're like, I don't know. I don't know about all this. You know, like something's really wrong here. Did I really ever feel like that as a kid?
Mm.
And I was thinking about it like my parents and I, because I grew up not far from where I live now, where it's, you know, it's country and, you know, there's storms and trees fall and, you know, people, you know, there's fires and that sort of thing. Fires, not so much, you know, back in the day, but it was definitely a thing. It's like, I remember there being, I think it was like my parents just took care of all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like, you know, there were times where, you know, like, there have been times that my parents were like, okay, we got to pack up. We're going to go to a motel for the night. You know, we just can't be here. And I was like, why? And they were like, well, their tree might fall on the house or something. You know, we got to go. And I'm like, okay, fine. You know, whatever. And, you know, as a kid, there's so many things that adults have to like figure out that kids just don't understand.
No, the kids, I mean, I think you probably don't remember it like you did the other morning when you woke up and it was dark because you can't really comprehend it. You're not totally understanding the situation. So it's not as scary in a way.
Totally. And if I would have been a kid and been like, Mom, why is the sun not out? She would have like come up with some sort of an answer and we would have had, you know, ice cream or, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, like the power of these like memories of like how much, and you know, again, those of us who are lucky enough to, you know, have had parental figures that, you know, did things for us, and not everybody has had the same situation, but that kind of thing, like I really look back on, there are some like kind of crazy shit that happened.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I just didn't. No, because somebody else was always taking care of it.
And also, apparently your memory really does, like looking back on life, you don't really remember the super scary stuff, like which is kind of remarkable when you think about it. Like your mind remembers the kind of good stuff and not the stresses. But yeah, when there was that big earthquake in my hometown, you know, where school was out, like there were tremors for days. It like made the downtown of my of the city like a rubble. And I was in high school. I was like, I think I was a sophomore. But I remember
it was 1989.
Yeah. So, okay. So maybe I was a freshman. I don't know. Anyway, I remember it being scary, but I don't remember that feeling of being scared. I remember situations that had happened during those days, you know, things fell off the wall and that kind of thing. But I don't remember feeling any fear. Like that's a memory I don't have as a child, which is interesting. I mean, sort of speaking of, this is actually like a decent segue into what I wanted to discuss. But, you know, the other day, my dad was like, you know, I don't remember what the context was, but I think we were talking about just like what's going on in the world. And there's a lot of crazy stuff in the news every day and that kind of thing. And we were talking about something in relation to like a news story. And, you know, he kind of, you know, taps the side of my head or something and goes, you know, you've always been such a dreamer. And, you know, I think it was something about, we were talking about people who can't sleep because of the of what's happening in the world right now. It's like really hard to get to sleep because people are stressed and whatnot. And I'm like, God, I slept like a baby last night. And he's just like, well, that's because you are able to compartmentalize like reality. And I thought about that a lot this week and how good I've kind of always been at, I mean, sure, I'm affected as anyone else who isn't sleeping at night. I'm obviously very worried about stuff, but I look back on my life and how often I've been able to kind of, I don't know, create sort of like a, sort of like use my imagination to kind of drift away from reality, at least part of the time. And I realized, you know, my dad was sort of like, not, he wasn't disappointed that I was a dreamer, but he was like kind of trying to shake me back to reality to like talk about real stuff. And I'm like, sometimes I just don't want to talk about real stuff all the time. Like, cause it's just, and I'm not going to be able to sleep at night and I'm going to be depressed. And so for me, I told him, I was like, look, like, my sister and my dad are really grounded in reality. They've always been very pragmatic and like they're Capricorns. It's like very, I just feel very different, like fundamentally. And I really am embracing this skill. I think especially now with all the chaos in the world, I love that I can escape and I can shift my mood and get lost in my imagination and like a visual little world that I can create with my mind. Get my mind off of serious things. And, you know, maybe it's a way of like, you know, we don't have a lot of control right now. Maybe it's like letting go of control and letting kind of my mind take me away. You know, I remember even when I decided to live abroad, you know, I had this total storybook impression of what Paris was from like the books I read. And, you know, and when I went there, it was like, kind of harsh because it was reality. It was cold. It was gray. The streets were dirty. You know, there was like a lot of the stuff that I couldn't create in my imagination because why would I, you know? And then I get there and I'm like, oh my God, this is like real life. And I always found like reality can be really harsh. So maybe I've created this way to cope with, you know, negative situations. And I'm thinking like, what could I do with this skill? Cause I'm really thinking it's kind of a skill now, to be productive and constructive, like with this skill. Like obviously the, you know, lowest hanging fruit is like write a story, you know, make a movie, like do something creative with this imagination, letting my mind kind of wander into like a different world, kind of thing. Anyway, it was just kind of a little stream of consciousness, but, you know, and obviously escapism that, you know, it's like people immediately think, oh, video games and movies, which is totally part of it. But
yeah,
the definition of escapism is like trying to create a diversion from unpleasant things that happen in daily life, you know? So I just find the whole thing fascinating, just the whole concept of it. I don't know if you're an escapist, Sarah, or you're a realist.
I don't know. I've never really thought about that. I definitely like to avoid things. but I don't necessarily think that I'm like, you know, escaping reality.
Yeah.
That's, you know, reality is something that, quite honestly, the fact of what reality is really like is what, you know, sometimes ruins my day. Mm-hmm. And I can't do anything about that because I know it's reality, but I know what you mean. I know, you know, like sort of like just sort of kind of the joy of saying, all right, I mean, we're humans. We're not on this earth to just be like super bummed out and like freaking out and like have a bad time 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen, but like, that's not why we're here.
No.
So if you can figure out, you know, how to like find the joy, mm-hmm. right? You know, like, oh, there's a beautiful flower over there, or, you know, the sun hit me a certain way, or, you know, whatever it is, like little stuff. I think that is important. And more than ever, I mean, people are struggling right now.
And there's bad stuff that happens all the time. I mean, it's not like bad stuff is only happening now, but like, you have to find a way to deal with it or you'll, I don't know, like you won't be able to sleep at night ever, which is really bad.
Well, okay. So moving on. This is something that it actually totally plays into what we're already talking about, but I have always been a grammar Nazi. I consider myself very good at this. Mm-hmm. I for my job, I do a lot of stuff that requires like me to write, you know, copy every day where I'm going to be reading it later. Mm-hmm. Used to do that in TV. Now I do that in podcasts, but same idea. And when people mess up, you know, I'm always like, oh my God, I'm like such a dumb mess up that you know, just made like, oh my God, it's an it's like, come on, you know, so easy. And I know that I'm kind of an asshole about it sometimes, but I can't help it because that's just what, you know, I know I'm good at it. And, you know, I've always kind of been like, well, you know, everyone else like get better at it. Right. So today I had to laugh because AP Style, which is, you know, this is, you know, how a lot of us, journalists, at least talk, said that you can use less even when fewer is the correct term. And the tweet that I saw was from a person that I don't know, but they said verbatim, apparently AP Style now says that you can use less even when fewer is correct. And so 2020 continues to plumb new depths.
That's funny.
And I was like, I totally get this, but I was like, you know, there are a lot of people who like don't even get this. Like, it's not a joke, but like, it's kind of a ha ha, you know, like quote kind of joke, like fewer or less or more or over kind of thing. Like, there are a lot of grammar things that I realize, honestly, as I, you know, I have gotten older, that like I know the difference and that's cool, but I think it's wrong for me to kind of like hold that over other people as much as I have for so long, because there's just so many different ways that our vernacular is now that I don't know how much it matters anymore.
I agree. I mean, in a way, like that's a really interesting thing about knowing a foreign language like French is they do not like have all this liberty with the language. Like, English language takes so many liberties and there's so much slang and that's why foreigners have such a hard time learning it, because there's so many exceptions to the rule. There's just so many wacky vernaculars and that kind of thing. And you know, there's a lot of languages in the world that don't do that. There's usually slang with any language, but not to the extent the English language. Yeah. And there's new words being put into the dictionary all the time. And new things being created, which is really exciting. I think it's really cool. I love the new slang and I kind of
do too. Yeah. And I really like, you know, again, as like somebody who is like, I'm good at English. Like, I've always been good at it. You know, like I really mess up, but like, there are a lot of things that, whereas I don't know, 10 years ago, I might be, you know, say like, Heather, look at your dumb mistake. And you'd be like, oh God, what a mistake. And now it's like, it doesn't really matter anymore.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. And I've had to kind of check myself a little bit, like, all right, you know, you got to just like let that stuff go the way that you would let lots of like societal things go that maybe mattered more and don't as much now because we're in a different world.
We are. And, you know, I've noticed, you know, sometimes even last night I was reading an article on my phone. I was like Psychology Today or some like real site. And it was so screwed up, like the punctuation and the formatting and the spelling and spacing. And there's a lot of that these days. And I think I know some people who are writers, you know, like such as yourself, who, you know, it really bothers them. Other people don't care. It's like the lighting thing. It's like some people don't care that the lighting is blue and, you know, and then other people really care. So it's, I care. I mean, I'm kind of a grammar Nazi too, maybe not as much as you, but maybe it's coming from television and we kind of had to be, because a lot of editors are bad spellers. I'm just going to generalize here. Most editors that I've worked with have been men. There's a lot of women editors, don't get me wrong, but most of the ones I've worked with in television have been men, and most of them have been terrible spellers. And so I've being a producer, as Sarah is, you really have to watch, you know, they're the ones that are putting together the text in post-production. And so you have to, you know, make sure everything's good to go. So that could be part of it, but that kind of stuff bugs me unless it's slangy and it's like, you know, like sort of purposely funny because it's slang and everything's sort of chopped up. I don't mind. But that kind of stuff is a little bit of a pet peeve for me too.
Oh man. I mean, it really is. But again, at the same time, some of the smartest people that I know and work with are not great with grammar.
Yeah.
They're just like, they just like fuck up all the time. And it's the same stuff over and over where I'm like, okay, this is just a thing you're never going to get, you know? So I'll just like go in and, you know, fix it for you. But I'm not, I am no longer going to be like, oh, I'm better than you because you got this wrong, because you're also better than me at lots of other things. So, you know, it's a little bit of like a brave new world, I guess.
It is, because sometimes I'm just like, I'd rather be like a total genius at like bigger picture stuff than like the nitty gritty, you know, like in a way. But then, you know, I sometimes I'm like, I wish I wasn't so organized and I was better at, you know, executing my creative ideas, you know, like, yeah. So it's like, is it that important? I don't know.
Right, right. It, well, and it is and it isn't.
It
isn't.
I guess it's, yeah,
exactly. That's sort of, you know, my takeaway from the whole thing is like, I'm like, I'm going to kind of rethink some of the stuff because I used to consider myself on a very high ground. And I think it is important to know the difference between getting something right and getting something wrong. But also language is changing and people are changing. And, you know, the point of all of this is very rapidly changing. And so, you know, I'm trying to be fluid in that sense.
I think that's good that you're doing that, Sarah. It's good to be flexible, especially as we age, we get less flexible and it's harder to change. And you know, but I think that with movies, like text, like on screen, something that's published online, I mean, I still think it's important to do it right.
100%.
So this is something that you and I were chatting about earlier this week, and I don't know why it came up. We chat about a million things like throughout the week, so who knows? But, and it doesn't even matter. But I've been thinking a lot about, you know, how music changes throughout your life and how it's, you know, important to you, or it kind of comes in and out of your life in different ways. And you get really into like maybe an old band you hadn't listened to for 20 years and you get like a resurgence with like certain, you know, singers and whatnot. You know, it triggered this thought when you had mentioned, I think it was like an episode back where you were saying that you just would rather listen to a podcast. And I feel the same way. I think for me, especially right now, a voice talking is more soothing than music. And that's not altogether, but like when I choose to listen to something, my first choice is to listen to Marc Maron's latest podcast, or listen to Up First by NPR, or listen to my audiobook. Because there's something really soothing about that. However, when I, you know, get in the car, I've got Sirius Radio, I've got all my channels programmed, I have a lot of 80s channels, a lot of other stuff. And like the other day, I, you know, most of my music listening time is in the car because it's just there. It's just, it's like automatic. And I think part of it for me is that when I'm home, music isn't as automatic. I have a record player. I have like, you know, I can use my Alexa. I have ways I can listen to music, but I'm kind of lazy about it. But when it comes on the radio, like the other day, it was like, I got in the car and like Sweet Child of Mine just started. I was like, yeah, hell yeah. And of course I'm totally really into it. And then it goes into the Cure. Yeah. And
well, it's that whole like old school radio thing where you're like, yeah, it's not up to me. So if it happens when I'm in the car, I feel really special.
Exactly. Like I don't really find the need to have Spotify right now because sometimes I'm like, I want to listen to that Smiths album. And then I'm like, oh, how am I going to do that? Well, I'll just use my Alexa. But really, just to take a step back, I was thinking about how you age and how music becomes more or less important to you. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff online about when you get older. Like my dad, for example, was a huge music person. I mean, he had records playing cool, good records. He had great taste when I was a kid. So into music. He had these huge speakers, great system. Doesn't care a lick about music anymore. I mean, he's in his 70s. And so I find that really interesting. And it's almost like irritating to have music on. He doesn't really want to listen to it. But I used to be the person who people would ask for new music recs. And I even hosted and produced like a bunch of music shows. I was really into it. I mean, with you, Sarah, even on shows that you were on with me.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the other day I was in iTunes and it was like scrolling artists, like new artists, and I didn't recognize any of them. And it just kind of blew me away. But I find that one thing other than like 80s music and nostalgic music, because again, I'm not really venturing into the new music territory because I think that younger people, it's more geared toward younger people anyway. But one thing that has really opened up my world in music in the last couple years is film composers. Like Trent Reznor, for example, is someone who has done a lot more film scoring.
I mean, he's like maybe like the best version of like what you're talking about, but
he is one of the best. Sure. And I find that music, because there's not a lot of lyrics, and that might be part of it, there's not a lot of voice, it's usually more atmospheric. I've been listening to that music at home, like on record and on even CD, and online, you know, on my Alexa or whatever. And I just kind of plug in the name of the composer, like composers that I really like their style. And I'm telling you, I can listen to it all day long. And there is a totally different world that I have accessed.
Like giving you a mood.
Exactly.
Rather than, you know, like filling your head with like lyrics and, you know, kind of like pop culture
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. And there's a soothingness about it. And it takes you on a kind of an adventure, washes over you kind of thing. So I'm going to let you guys in on five composers that have really kind of rocked my world in the last few years. And this is only five, there's tons more, but these are the ones that really speak to me. I have a huge girl crush on this Micah Levy. She also goes by the name of Mikachu. She's British. She scored Under the Skin by Jonathan Glazer, which was that kind of science fiction movie by that music video.
Oh, Scarlett Johansson?
Scarlett Johansson. One of my favorite movies.
It's a pretty good movie. Yeah.
So good. And the score, I mean, honestly, it's like one of the coolest scores ever. It just gives you, it's kind of an otherworldly kind of thing. She also did a movie called Monos, which a lot of people haven't seen. I saw it in the theater in Los Angeles last year. Really highly recommend it. It's a little harrowing about kids with guns in a jungle kind of thing, but she also scored that. The score is incredible. It's worth watching just for that. Maybe you shut your eyes. I don't know. Johan Johansson, who's Icelandic. I happen to have five different people from five different places in the world, which I thought was pretty cool. It just happened to be that way. So Michael Levy's from London, and then we've got Johan Johansson from Iceland. I've talked about him on the show. When I talked about the movie Mandy with Nicolas Cage, one of my favorite movies, but he is incredible. He scored Mandy, Sicario, if you've seen that, Arrival, which is that sci-fi movie with Amy Adams. He also was a consultant on the movie Mother, the Aronofsky.
Oh, I hate that movie.
I know you hated that.
Hate that movie, but I didn't hate the music. So, you know.
Well, he passed around the time Mandy was made. It's unfortunate because he passed it. He was in his 40s. Really sad because he was a really talented guy. Ennio Morricone is very prolific. He's an Italian composer. He's done everything from Polanski, Brian De Palma, John Carpenter, Lucio Fulci. You know, he scored The Thing with John Carpenter. He's actually, the reason why I'm really into him right now is he's done a lot of those giallo movies. Ones that I've seen recently, Who Saw Her Die, What Have You Done to Solange, and this is not Solange Knowles, Beyonce's sister, a different Solange, but his stuff is incredible. I highly recommend you checking him out. He's done a lot of stuff. And then number four is Alexandre Desplat. He's French, and he's done tons of Wes Anderson, a lot of other stuff, but he's French. He did the Grand Budapest Hotel, Moonrise Kingdom. Very playful, charming, brilliant guy. I'm sure you'd recognize a lot of stuff. We used to actually see him in our neighborhood in Los Angeles, and I used to just be like very excited when
like,
I see him.
Hi, I like your music.
I love your music. Almost so hot. Finally, and this is just, you know, he's not doing much anymore, but John Carpenter. I'm a huge John Carpenter fan. He obviously directed Halloween. He's an American. He did the score for Halloween, which is like one of the most prominent scores. You all know it. But he did all of his other, he scored a lot of his own movies. The Fog, I love, Christine, Assault on Precinct 13, Halloween 3 Season of the Witch has a really cool theme. Anyway, so while you guys are quarantining for however long this is going to last, here's another thing for you guys to check out and be entertained by. So please let me know. I want to know if you guys are into composers and who you're into. Please email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
Please do. You know, it's funny, Heather, that you mentioned in passing Carrie. I woke up in the middle of the night a few nights ago and, you know, like I had to pee, whatever. And I like there was just like something weird going on where I was like, I felt like I was in the movie Carrie. And
wow, why?
Because I was peeing and, you know, like, I don't know, like there's liquid and, you know, whatever. and I was like, it was 4 a.m. and I was asleep and I was just like, I just want to go back to sleep. But I did think to myself, like, I want to talk to Heather about this later. Because like, this is like a bizarre thing that I'm thinking of right now.
Oh, you know? Yeah, it's totally my jam. You know me so well.
Yeah. Yeah. As I'm awake for like 5 minutes right now, you know, in the middle of the night, like, I'm like, this is like, we should talk about Carrie.
I love it. You know, it's funny. I can't tell you how much inspiration I get from, and it's not just the standard inspiration from horror movies, but like, for example, The Fog is a great Carpenter movie that I had seen when I was a kid or something, and I rewatched it. So many good rewatches I've been experiencing lately. One of my favorite John Carpenter movies is Christine. I love that. Is one of my favorites. Oh God, and that score is so incredible. Highly recommend a rewatch. Being an adult watching that stuff is way different than being a teenager, I'm telling you.
Yeah, no kidding. So Heather, how can people support us?
Well, if you go to patreon.com/havesuchagoodday, we've missed you guys. We haven't seen a lot of activity. We have been posting a few little videos here and there, and we would love to have more of you join us. It's very easy to join. We have 3 really low-end tiers that offer a variety of little perks. And it's a $1 level, $5 level, $10 level. Anything that you can do to support our ad-free community. And so come check us out. We're also on any podcast app that you can imagine. If we're not, please let us know. And we'll try to get on it because
we'll get
our platforms
on
now.
Exactamund. Yes. Patreon.com/havesuchagoodday. Check it out. And thank you to everybody who supports us. We really appreciate it. Well, Heather, I think we're wrapping this bag up.
We're going to wrap. That's what we're going to do.
We're going to wrap. Before we go, because I was thinking about like memories and music and the fact that like I also like I have a hard time with music right now. Like I get jittery. I'm like, I don't want to listen to this. I want to listen to like people talking
even
about
rap?
Like stuff. Even rap. Yeah. I know.
You're changing, Sarah.
I know. I really am. However, someone mentioned the Alan Parsons Project to me.
Interesting.
Right. Which is the song that they meant was Eye in the Sky, which if you're of a certain age, you would know that song. It's like from like the like early 80s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I am the sky.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at you. Mm-hmm. You know, but like I listened to it today and I was like, this actually gave me some joy.
Oh, 100%.
So, you know, yeah, like, yeah, I'm going to get back to the music now. Maybe I'm one of those ladies that just like listens to like old shit,
you know,
and that's fine.
Something so soothing about the nostalgia of music and the muscle memory of like knowing the lyrics and you're like, whoa, like I'll start singing and I'll be like, I didn't even know I knew those lyrics like of some like,
right,
like Bryan Adams song or something. I'm like embarrassed that I'm like singing this thing.
You're like, I know literally every lyric of this song. Like, whoa, wow. Yeah. No, that's how I felt about this Alan Parsons. Like, no shade, mm-hmm. but like, I don't even remember like liking that band. And I'm like, oh, I know that song. It's one of my favorite songs ever.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, I really think a lot of this has to do with just habit. And you get into these habits and you forget what it's like to dance and to listen to cool music. And it's like, then when you put it on and you take the time to do it, you're like, oh, I miss this. And you kind of get back into the groove. So I think it's just habit forming, you know, like anything. Anyway, on that note, we would like you guys to create a habit of listening to us every week.
We really would. We really would. We really appreciate it. Thanks to everybody who listens, who spreads the word, who subscribes. We'd love to know what your favorite, you know, podcatcher is so that we know how you're, you know, finding the show. But man, we are just very thankful and we're so happy to do this with you every week.
We are. I look forward to it. So you guys stay safe and join us on Discord. And we love ya and we'll see you very soon. Have such a good day.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.